Good morning. It is the 13th of April, 2018. It is the 28th day of Nisan, Tavshin Ayin Ches. We are in Parak Yudzayin of Vayikra, and over the course of Parak Yudzayin, there's a lot of discussion regarding dam, regarding blood. Now, specifically mentioned the mitzvah, at least according to the cantos of the Sefer Achinuch, the mitzvah regarding blood here is the mitzvah of kisui adam. However, it does mention the prohibition of eating blood, and the Sefer Achinuch says, yeah, by the way, that's an earlier mitzvah. That actually was found in Parshas Tav. But anyways, I'd like to discuss a few halachic ramifications of eating blood that show up on a regular basis over the course of today. Sounds good? Okay, so number one, what is the Sefer HaChinuch does point out that there is a significant emphasis placed on the prohibition of eating blood. It seems to appear in many different places. What is his problem? What is his reasoning for there being so much? So he says, Efshar Lomer Bidam Od Kimavad Roa Mazgash Hu that by eating the blood, you will actually acquire, because of what a person eats, they are what they eat. So blood has the idea of cruelty. That a person will eat, will then swallow the source of life. I mean, the assumption is that the basar is the basar, but the blood is really the source of life. So you're not just eating the flesh, and now you're eating the life of the animal, which actually creates a certain amount of cruelty. He adds quotes from the Ramban. The Ramban adds a little shenechel yishu beguf ha'ochel v'im v'miyochel adam ha'dam tia ovei v'gasas b'nefesh adam, that by absorbing the blood, you actually absorb the characteristics of the animal. That's not just you're not just absorbing the meat, but absorbing the animalistic qualities. Either one, there is a significant emphasis on the prohibition of dam. Dam is for the mizbeach. It's not for us. So
the nefesh is in the blood.
Yes. Yes, the nefesh is in the blood. So the Sefer, the Midrash Chinuch points out that blood can mean several different things. One is the idea of dam ha-nefesh. So dam ha-nefesh is the blood that comes out when it's shechted. So that's full-fledged, it's a deraisa, isarkaris, bad news. Well, it needs to be covered in chayos and chickens, correct? Not really all the blood. I don't really quite understand all of the halachos of kisui adam, right? There's an idea of covering some of it. Right? You take some dirt and cover some of it. But we don't cover the whole thing.
We used to go to the slaughterhouse and do kapparas. The rabbi would check the chicken. There would be sawdust on the floor and the workers.
They do a little bit, but it's not like it, right.
The chicken's hung up on a line and it disappears.
Yes, very right. If you go to the Empire Chicken Shechting House, right, they're not constantly covering up blood. I think they do a little bit in the beginning, a little bit at the end. They somehow, I'm not sure how they do it. But anyway, so there's dam ha-nefesh, the blood that comes out right away. Then there's dam tamsis, the blood that is contained within the animal that comes out as well. Now that is considered, at least the Midrash Chinuch assumes that is also an Isser D'oraisa, but not necessarily an Isser Karis. So then he gets into the discussions of, well, what if it's half and half? What if you have part Dam Nefesh, part Dam Tamsis? Do they join together in order to create prohibition or not, or Chiv Karis or not? Whatever, that's his question. Then there's what he calls Dam Evarim. Dam Evarim is that which is contained within the limbs. Now that is technically not prohibited until it leaves the limbs. So that's important to keep in mind when we come to the prohibition of malicha, or not the prohibition, the mitzvah of malicha, or the status of malicha. That blood that is contained within the limbs, that doesn't go anywhere, that just stays there, is actually not, it seems like it's not prohibited. It's only when it moves around that it's a problem. How I got to keep it from moving around. But that's one further idea. Maybe we'll get to that today. And then the fourth example that I would give is dam beitzim, the blood that is found in eggs. And that's what I'd like to go to first, the idea of dam, blood that is found in eggs. Now, I recall even from the time that I have grown up until now, the number of blood spots that we have found in eggs have diminished rapidly, right?
Yeah, well, electronic eyes.
Yes.
Can see inside
right.
The egg, and the egg passes by this light, and if it
right.
Has the spot, it pushes it on.
Right, so even halach, even when it goes back a couple of centuries, it certainly wasn't the row of the majority of eggs where things were found. But the reason why it's gone down so much is for two significant reasons. Number one is that nowadays eggs I would say 99%, probably 9.9% of eggs probably come from farms that are egg-laying only farms, and that's all they do. And not only do they only lay eggs, there aren't even any roosters around. That they just—I'm not sure how chickens get started with that. If they need a rooster to start or not, I think we've spoken about this in the past. But anyways, there's no roosters around, so these are not fertilized eggs. Now that's one way you can get a blood spot is a fertilized egg. And if there is a fertilized egg and you're just opening it up, then the entire egg is actually nisidoraisa. That is a totally—you're not allowed to eat the entire egg. The entire egg needs to be thrown out. Now, the other reason that there might be blood in the egg is not because it was fertilized, but rather because there's some kind of tissue or something, just something from the chicken got into the egg, and therefore caused a little bit of dom to be in there. What's the status of that dom? So that's a bit of a machloka. That could be machloka all the way ranging from is the rice, is the rabbanon, minug, or mutter. Right? All are possible ramifications with regards to that dam. But all would assume then that you don't have to throw out the entire egg. You only have to take out a tiny amount of it. So it sounds like, because there's no roosters around, so it sounds like that one should, at the very most, the worst one, what would happen if they would find a blood spot is that they would just have to throw out a tiny bit of the egg. So what exactly does the halacha say about this? So if they were able to find this, to give credit, there was an article in the RJJ Journal in the year 2000 from Rabbi Michael Broit, who brought down many of these sources. So, at least with regards to the blood spot part. So, most of these halachos are found in Simin Samach Vav of Yoredeya. Simin Samach Vav is entitled Dvarim Hasurim Mishum Dam, those things that are prohibited because of blood. And it's, okay, first of all, let's talk about Dam Behem, then Dam Beitzim. So Dam Beitzim takes up the majority of the section here. And the Gemara itself, and then the Shulchan Aruch, spells out the different positions with regards to the Gemara is complicated, and then the opinions of the Rishonim are complicated, or where is the blood found? How do you know if it's from blood from because of a tissue, or blood because of because it was fertilized? It might depend if the blood was found in the yolk, or in the white part, or where it was found, and brings in all these disputes, and it's complicated, and comes the Raman, then says, "Umizen ispashit haminug b'medinos elu." So therefore, the minug has spread in these countries. Lasser kol beitzei sheyesh ba dam, to prohibit all eggs that have a little blood in it. Ve'im machalkin bein chelmo and lechelmo. We don't distinguish between the yolk and the white. We don't do that. Uvemakum denoagim lahakin lizer kadam ulahater abeitzei. In those places where they are noag to be makel and throw out the blood and keep the egg. Vemakum demutter tsarich litol kadei klipa imadam kishazorko. If they do have the minug of just throwing out the blood and keeping the egg, you have to take off kadei klipa. What's kadei klipa? Like that tear off. You got to cut off the set. It's not just enough to flick off the blood. You got to cut out a little bit around it. But the Rama is quoting the minug that we throw out the entire egg. And there is a Rabbi Krohn, Pesach Krohn has the story about a woman during right before the Holocaust. There was some difficult period in history where they were allotted like one egg per week for the Jewish families, and she was making a cake for Shabbos. And that's what she would save her egg for the cake for Shabbos. And she opened the egg, and there was a blood spot in it. Oh, what do I do? And she said, "You know what? The correct thing to do is to throw it out." Right? That's the minhag d'Rama, so she throws it out. And then a week later, she cracks open her egg, and there are two yolks inside of it. Anyway, or maybe it was maybe she got two eggs a week, and that was, I don't remember exactly the story, but anyways, that's the tradition is to throw the entire thing out. However, if we continue on in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara the following din. Beitzim ha-mozros. If you have beitzim that are mozros, what are beitzim that are mozros? So that means there are no roosters present. Afilu yashva tarnagolos aleihem yamim harbe. Even if the chickens were sitting on it for many days, mutter liachlam uvachi yizor kodam. It's permissible to eat them, provided that you throw out the blood. So comes many a poskim of the last century and say, yeah, that's the din. The din is if you find blood in the eggs, v'zman hazeh, because factories don't have roosters there, or the farms where eggs come from don't have roosters there. So that's the din. So you could just take out the blood and you could keep the rest of the egg. And in fact, Rav Yosef says that that's the din, the Minchas Yitzchak says that that's the din, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you know, in theory that should be the din, but I'm friends with a bunch of farmers. And I spoke with a farmer who told me that that on a lot of that it's true there are many farms that there are no roosters around, but there are other farms that they do both, that they raise chickens and they raise eggs. And there it's possible that the eggs could get transferred back and forth. So therefore I think it's better to maintain the minhag of the Ramah and throughout the entire egg. So some have pointed out that that might be a bit of a sociological machlokas as well, meaning not really machlokas, but just, you know, in America people are rich, so you can afford to throw out the egg. While in Eretz Yisrael, a gevalt, you can throw out an entire egg. It's actually considered a more significant hefset. So some, you know, you could take that point as well. But beyond that, Rabbi Roy takes a stand here. He said that might have been true. Rav Moshe's tshuva. That's Yoredei Chelik Aleph Simin Lamed Vav. So that tshuva was written Tufshin Yud Zayin. The year Tufshin Yud Zayin is. We're in Tufshin Samaches, so we're in 68, and that is the year 17. So 68 to 17 is 50 years ago. Right? So 50 years ago, the farmers were still, you still had farms where there were...
Yeah, I can give you some input. If you're riding around the countryside and you see a sign, eggs for sale, most likely that man has a small flock of chickens, and he's got them running around with roosters.
Right. Right. Okay.
You know, like you said, like the commercial farms.
Right. So whether how true this was in the 50s, nowadays it's probably less accurate. Beyond that, there's also the further idea that we kindle, as you were mentioning before, we kindle the eggs, so we check the eggs to make sure that there's no blood in them. So it's possible that this tshuva of Rav Moshe still would not be so applicable even with Zman HaZeh. I mean, things may have changed the last couple of decades. I think the minhag is still probably, if you see a blood spot in your egg in Philadelphia in the year 2018, absolutely, usually throughout the entire egg, but certainly there's what to be somichan not to, and that's very helpful.
It's a health concern also, isn't it?
Ah, no, really? Come on.
Throwing eating an egg with a blood spot on it.
Eating a bowl of Frosted Flakes is a lot worse. I bet.
Eat their steaks, and they like something like steak rare.
Yeah.
What's the hell after on that?
What?
Eating a steak.
Well, we need time. Hold on. So, anyways,
is a light box usable for checking an egg?
I think so. I mean, that's how you can delay,
that's
right?
That's how they have a light.
Right. There's a light that shines through it.
They hung them over a strong light. And the farmer could see, there's some imperfection on the yolk. He could pick it out.
Right.
Now, with today's system, is even more accurate than the human eye.
Right. So nowadays, people, you know, the minhag still is people check their eggs, and they, if there's a blood spot in it, they throw the entire thing out, and you know that's the minhag that we maintain.
Now, three eggs out of a dozen.
I think most people check every egg in their own homes. I think I don't know what people do, but my impression is, you know, from what my mother did and what my wife does and what do you see, people check eggs.
My wife cracks the egg into a clear bowl.
Right. You crack into a clear bowl, look at the top, look on the bottom, and then put it in. Yeah, okay. So, but there is a bigger issue when it comes to commercial settings, right? So commercial settings, when you got to do a lot of eggs at once, so is there maybe more of a heter to do more? So I sent an email to Rabbi Eisenman yesterday, just what is our Keystone K policy, which, you know, of course I decided. I don't remember what it was. But anyways, we require the Shomer Shabbos check, so we do require they check eggs. However, we also accept eggs from reputable kashrus organizations that rely on the chazaka for eggs. I mean, not all kashrus organizations require it. Certainly in big factories and things like that, they require someone checking for eggs. So we'll accept that, but us personally, meaning in our stores, we will tell, you know, in Nana's kitchen, we tell her to check the eggs that are made there.
Hey, that
what? No. No, no, but in terms of check, do we require them checking for blood? So, no, there's no hechsher reason. There's no hechsher on lettuce, but you still got to check for bugs. So here you got to check for blood. So that is our that is what we attempt to do. But we would accept from other agencies that don't necessarily have that standard. Okay? So that is the... is there anything else on the... the one more thing that is also important is also is that it's sifches here, which says mutter lechol beitzim tzuliyus afal pisha in michol livdok, that you're allowed to eat eggs that were not checked. Meaning if they were not checked and now they're already in an omelet, or now they're already in a cookie, and now they're already someplace else, and they're impossible to check. So one is permitted to rely on the rove that they didn't have blood in them. So that's similar, that's in Hilchos Kashrus, in Hilchos Treifos as well. The same halacha is found, that if you're require people to check the lungs. But the Gemara says explicitly that if after you checked an animal, along comes a tiger and marches away with the cow's lung, so okay. We can't check the lungs, so the animal would still be considered kosher, despite the fact that we weren't able to check its lungs. What about the same? Hard-boiled eggs, right? The same thing, right? You don't check hard-boiled eggs, obviously. So, okay. All right, good so far. So that's with regards to eggs. Now, the last sif.
Before we leave eggs, brown eggs.
I love it.
Brown eggs have a special characteristics. Due to the pigmentation of the chicken, which is usually a red or a brown chicken.
Yes.
Great. Sometimes lots of pigmentation on the yolk.
Okay.
This pigmentation does not necessarily mean it's blood.
Okay.
It's pigmentation picked up from the
okay.
chicken itself.
It's, all right.
It's the way it is. So a lot of times people see those specks on the yolk, and they don't know whether it's blood. They don't know what it is.
So beware.
Beware.
Ask a Shaila.
And most
that's good calling.
Of course, the rabbi won't know either.
All your organic eggs that you see in free range, organic, any of these types of eggs, usually they're brown eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what's the difference between an egg that produced by a rooster and
roosters are males, right? So if there's a rooster around, that means it could be a fertilized egg. If there's no rooster around,
that's what I mean. With a fertilized egg and an egg, then
what? One can have both.
A chicken can produce eggs without being fertilized.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
It does it on its own.
Right. Which is my question on that Gemara that talks about that after a couple of days they didn't have eggs around. So, well, why not?
Right.
Okay. Anyways. So there are two more halachos that are found in this siman shulchan aruch. Number one is the issue of dam dugim. So dam dugim, the blood of fish, is permissible. I think blood of fish is red. Fish blood. So fish blood is mutter. Fish blood is no isser in drinking fish blood.
Right, because it's not warm blood.
Okay. It's not a problem. Now there is a bit of a problem of marasayin, that if you look at it, the person and they are doing what are they drinking? So this is the source of putting the scales around or putting something around. And say, no, don't worry. This red drink I'm having here is fish blood. Not to make it clear. Do people drink it?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find someone to drink it.
Yeah. I'm sure you can find
it. Yeah. Well, this halacha is really extended in areas of actually what we're about to learn now. The next issue, which is Dam Adam, the issue of blood with regards to a person. So a person's blood is not prohibited. Not only that, a person's meat is technically not prohibited. Now, you might get a queasy feeling there from Sam, but there is a...
You're a kosher animal.
Right? So there is a bit of a machlok. There is a machlok, as we've shown him. People are not considered animals. So there is a there's a machlokas we've shown him whether it is totally mutter or whether it is an isser aseh, meaning the Torah tells us to eat kosher meat. So if you're going to eat meat that's not kosher, perhaps you're in violation of that positive injunction. But it's not a negative prohibition. So this is discussed. There is a tshuva on the from the Sefer Lev Avram. who's a Rav in Muncie. There's a yeshiva in Israel today called Lev Avram, where he describes the, I think the title is something like Be'inyan Maisa Da Alive, the movie Alive was out then, where there's cannibalism in the movie of Alive, and he writes, I heard in the newspaper that this incident happened, that a plane crashed in the middle of South America, etc. And he says, just by the way, what would the Torah say about this particular thing? And he covers the entire issue of cannibalism there. Not for today's year. We'll talk about another time if you like. But the Shulchan Aruch does say, "Dam admi perish bi menu aser mishum marasayin." That if the blood of a person gets out, so then it's a problem because it looks like marasayin. L'fichach im nashach hakikar b'shina v'yatzad dam b'shina. If you eat a loaf of bread with your teeth and blood comes out from your teeth, al gabe kikar on the loaf of bread, sarach legarda aval shabina shinayim motzo. So you got to get rid of the blood that's on the bread. You can't take another bite of the bread until you brush off that blood. But if it's in your teeth, so then you could just suck it out. So that comes from a the Gemara in Ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus makes that comment. We discussed yesterday that the Gemara in Ksuvus is saying that a child shouldn't cease, discusses the time when a child should cease nursing from their parents, either two or maybe even four or five. Machlokas ad hayom hazeh. But the Gemara makes a comment there that above that age, to nurse from a woman, from a child older than that, is considered disgusting. That's not considered an appropriate thing to do. But technically, a woman's milk is mutter. Technically, a woman's milk, if it's in a separate flask, is permissible. So, but then the Gemara turns around and says, and isn't that interesting? That's the total opposite of blood. That blood, when it's connected to the body, just sucked directly out of the body. That's permissible. But if it's on a, if it's on a loaf of bread, so then it's going to be prohibited. Right. So it's just an interesting point that the Gemara points out. Yes.
So, a person's fleshic.
That's a good question. So a person's flesh is not. A person's flesh is not fleshic. There is an interesting issue that if you assume it's an Isser Aseh, I believe this might be the Kehilas Yaakov or Chaim Kenyasi, one of the either father or son, one of them discusses the issue of that if you burn your finger, I think it's in Kehilas Yaakov on Masechta Skulin, but let's say you pick up a steak, a boiling hot steak, and you burn your hand on the steak. So maybe you have a problem that you have to kasher the steak. You got to cut off that part because it absorbed from your hand. He raises that issue. But anyways, so...
Eat a man, but you can have milk with
him
too.
What?
Not only can you have
cannibalism,
but you can...
Right.
The Torah doesn't deal with cannibalism at all, ever.
The Torah does... is there an example of cannibalism in Tanakh? Is that your question?
Is there an example or a discussion or a mention?
Yeah.
Well, it does. I mean, it is mentioned. It is hinted to in Megillas Eicha that such a thing happened. I believe there is a person Eicha, but it's not. It's talking about the degradation of Jews. It's not really talking about it in terms of a halachic context. And the question then comes up for somebody. The issue that the Sefer this Tshuva Lev Avram is dealing with is, let's say you are in a plane crash, right? And 80% of the people die, right? And now you have a choice. You can either eat the pork dinner that the guy didn't eat and is left over, or you could eat the guy, right? So what? What?
And you can drink milk.
Right. So one of them is an Isser Doraisa. Right, to eat the pork is an Isser Doraisa, and to eat Ted, right, is only as at worst an Isser Aseh, right? So maybe I should be required to eat Ted rather than to eat Wilbur. Right? That's the discussion that he has. So really what he's trying to figure out is there a heter to eat Wilbur rather than Ted?
So what does he decide?
So I don't remember his conclusion, but the way to say that it would be permissible would be that a person is not even considered food.
Right?
There's no food available, so you have to eat non-kosher food. No kosher food available, so you have to eat non-kosher food. So what about Ted? Is Ted considered food, or is Ted considered Ted? In which case, it doesn't qualify, and therefore I wouldn't have to eat it. That's the Shiloh that he's discussing. From what I recall, I think I looked at it about 15 years ago, but that's, certain things remained ingrained in your memory. Okay, so So anyways, there is an interesting, the Rav Elchanan Wasserman in his Sefer on Maseches Ksuvos just raises an interesting question of, you know, we do have a what's the problem? The problem is that if you eat the bread that has blood on it, that would be a violation of Marasayin, right? That's the concern. Well, people are, what are people going to say? So the halacha is that Marasayin is even concerning, even what we call b'chadri chadarim, even in your own room where no one's going to possibly see you, so therefore it's still considered a problem. So anything that's Marasayin, so if I want to drink fish blood, right, and so if I want to do it in public, I got to put scales by my cup, but if I want to do it in my own study where no one's going to see me, still you need to put the scales by. That's the implication of that halacha. So asks Rav Elchanan, so, well, wait a second, why should it be permissible to suck blood out of your tooth and just swallow it? Isn't that b'chadrei chadarim? If it's a marasayin issue, it shouldn't be permissible in that case either. So Rav Elchanan says, no, the issue of b'chadrei chadarim is that potentially someone else could get in there with you. But this, by definition, nobody can get in there with you. So therefore, it's not even concerned as well.
Is there a prohibition different for blood from a kosher animal or blood from a non-kosher animal? Is there any difference?
Not sure.
You say fish blood, I'm thinking, well, it's snake blood, turtle blood.
Yeah, so I would assume there would be a something here about dam nevela, or dam something that's not kosher. Actually, there's a lot on the topic.
I'm sure it's prohibited.
Right. But your question really is: is there an isser of dam, or is there an issue? Is it an isser, just a regular isser of nevela or non-kosher foods or whatever it is? So actually, I don't see it here. He doesn't get a heading. No. Okay. Okay, so one issue just to move on to discuss with the, so that's the issue of human blood. Okay, now I just discuss the issue of melicha. Shortly, we raised this issue yesterday that when you pick up a piece of meat at the store, right, and you wiggle it around a little bit, so you see this red stuff floating around. So what is that red stuff? So we want to call it meat juice, right? It's cow juice. That can't be blood, because there's clearly a hashgach on the package, and it says that melicha was done already, and salting was done. So obviously, it can't be blood. So, however, if you were to take it to a laboratory and do a little inspection on it, you would see that it chemically appears very similar to blood, but so what is the status of that thing? So there is an interesting discussion where the Rambam, in his recording of the laws of melicha, what happens in the laws of melicha, so there's a washing, and then then you salt it, and you gotta leave it salted for a little bit. How long that is a problem, how much salt is a problem, and then you gotta wash it again. So it's dacha rishona, melicha, dacha achrona. Washing, salting, washing. Okay, then all of a sudden the Rambam decides to stick in this halacha, and it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Then Simon Samach Tes Sif Yud Tes. It says it's the Rambam Litno B'Mayim Rotchim, to put it on hot water, that we scald it with water after the second washing. So the Rambam just says that. Where did the Rambam get that from? So it doesn't say anywhere in the regular laws of Hilchos. But there is such a halacha when it comes to the kavi, when it comes to the liver, that we scald it with water. What is the scalding with water hoping to accomplish? So it seems like it keeps the blood in where it is. And this is that halacha that I mentioned before. That we keep the blood where it is, and the only issue is what we call dam shepershu, dam that gets out. If the dam is going to be able to stay where it is, so then there's not going to be a problem of dam, the issur of dam doesn't apply. Fine. So a bit of a question as to why that would be. So, and additionally, we also have the idea that bisman hazeh, we don't really do, that's one of the options, we don't really do it bisman hazeh, this scalding, because we don't really know how to do it appropriately. It's one of these things, we don't know what it is, so we don't do it. So what's going on? So the Shulchan Aruch actually doesn't paskin like that Rambam, right? The Rambam is not quoted, there's no Gemara that says it. And the Alder Rishon disagree. The way the Shulchan Aruch reads, the full Shulchan Aruch reads, achar shenimlach, after you salt habasar behudach and you wash it, mutter litno afilu b'mayim she'enon roken. You're allowed to put it even in water, even in cold water. You could put it into the pot and let it start boiling or cooking or do whatever, or freezing or whatever it is that you want to do with it. The yesh mi shematzich litno b'mayim roken. Some require putting it in hot water. That's the Rambam. And comes the Rambam and says v'aminah kisvar rishona b'cheneker. Aminah is like the first opinion. And that is the and that is the main position. So you have fine. So, but what about this red stuff that's coming out of it? What is that red stuff that's coming out of it? So there's two positions that are talked about in the Rishonim. Both are interesting. One of them is that we know it's blood, but we don't halachically we don't consider it blood. Halachically we don't consider it dam. That's just the rule. That once malicha is done, so the malicha, it sounds like the malicha has changed it to the, or halachically has changed it to the point that we don't consider it blood. It's similar to Hilchot. In Hilchos Nida, so when you have to check whether it's the right shade or not the right shade, whether it's dam or not dam, etc. So we look at it. If it's brown, so then we don't consider it dam. But it is. Right? You can do a chemical test on it, and it will clearly appear to be. It will turn the color that it's supposed to turn. Okay, but that's fine. We don't consider it the blood. That's a problem. So here we're not going to consider it to be the blood. That's a problem. The other idea. Is that no? We do consider it blood, but the halacha is that dam shebishlu is also kosher. Dam shebishlu is also not a problem. That cooked blood is actually not an issur d'oraisa. Cooked blood is only an issur d'rabbanan. That's interesting. Cooked blood is only an issur d'rabbanan. So then we're going to be cooking the blood. Isn't that a problem? No. The rabbis only prohibited cooked blood if you never did malicha on it. But if you did malicha on it, so the rabbanan say heimamru veheimamru, right? They make the rules on all dini derabbanan. So dam shebishlu is only usser so long as you didn't salt it. But if you salt it, so it's not usser anymore. It's not usser anymore. So therefore, that stuff, even though we want to call it, so one position is that's not blood, that's meat juice. The other position is no, it is blood, but the iser derabanan is not applicable to it anymore. So I was thinking there might be some practical applications. That what if that blood gets on some other things, and you didn't cook it, or you could probably come up with some applications too. I think we assume more like the first opinion and the second opinion that we just don't consider it dumb, even though it's red. Floating around, etc. That's the halachic approach. But nevertheless, that's what we consider that stuff. Now, why was the Rambam strict about it? So when I was in learning Hilchos Malicha, Sobolovsky pointed out that there is one Rishon who assumes that Dam Shadishal is not Issur D'Rabbanan, it's actually Issur D'Oraisa. Can you guess who that Rishon would be? It'd be the Rambam. Right, the Rambam holds that Dam is machmir, is stringent about the laws of cooked blood. So therefore, it's not sufficient to just close his eyes and say, that's not blood, it's going to be cooked anyways, you don't have to worry about it anymore. No, he would still be worried about it. The Rambam doesn't have the right to wipe that out. So therefore, the Rambam imposes this extra stringency of imposing of this thing called chalita, putting hot water in it in order to freeze it, so that it's not just blood that gets cooked, but it's also blood that stays where it is, and therefore it's not considered Dam Shepershu, Dam that's separated, and therefore would continue to be permissible. Okay. Yeah?
What about liver?
What about liver?
You don't salt liver.
You broil it. Right. So broiling all meat. So I think this is my focus about how broiling works. I'm not sure whether broiling works because all the blood comes out or because all the blood stays in. I'm not sure. But that's the halacha by all meat, that if you broil it appropriately, then it's okay.
So if you sear it, if you broil the outside, then all the blood stays in. And then you can eat it rare. Right?
I don't know. I'm not going there. This
why
is.
Can you drink fish blood?
Why could you or can't you?
Can you?
Why not?
Because it says here, and it's your question about the non-culture. It says any blood, cold.
So how do they figure out that fish blood is not included?
What's it say?
It says that any man in the house of Israel and proselytes dwells among them. Who will consume any blood? I shall concentrate my intention upon.
Because of the definition of blood.
I don't know. I don't know. I would assume that if you would look it up in the Gemara will give you a lima as to how it knows that one is and one isn't. I am not sure. Take a look at the Gemara in Krisus Daf Chaf Aleph. You can find the answer there. All right. Have a good day. Shabbos.